Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Just the way the calendar and schedules fall out, the way the calendar and schedules fell out, we did not learn since January 1st in this class. So Baruch Shem, a very nice class prepared with much learning related to Shabbos Kodesh. I want to thank our sponsor for this year very, very much for enhancing our appreciation, observance, and love for Shabbos, even though she and her family do not want to be named. Tizki the mitzvos ulamaisim tovim. So we are on page 36 of the Sefer of Rav Shimshon Pinchas, Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. I'm just going to go back, not to repeat insights that we said, but since we haven't learned in 3 weeks, just so we should all be on the same page, pun is intended, okay? So the last thing we learned was that when Shabbos comes, we can't cook, we can't bake. Why not? Now, I'm not talking about halachically, why not? Hashkafically, why can't we cook and bake? So Rav Shimshon Pinchas has said, because let's say you're expecting an important guest, or I gave the example of my parents, if you remember. You haven't been with them so many months because of the pandemic, and you know they're coming. And then the special guest comes to your house, and you say, oh, now I'm going to cook. Now I'm going to bake. You should have done it before. But you prepared before, you can. But Hashem says, now I'm here. I don't want you preparing now. I want you spending time with me. So Shabbos is not a day to be busy in the kitchen. Shabbos is a time to be enjoying Hashem's company. And that's exactly what Shimshon Pinchas writes. Now's the time to sit down together, to speak words of Torah, quote, and enjoy each other's company. So you don't go into the kitchen and say to your important guest, oh, excuse me, now I'm going to prepare for Shabbos. No, you were supposed to prepare for Shabbos before Shabbos Malkasa came to your house. Again, I'm just reviewing since making sure we're up to speed since we missed a couple of weeks. On Shabbos, we're in Hashem's company. As Chazal say, the sages barely permitted people to greet each other on Shabbos. So when Rav Pinchas quotes from Talmud Bavli, I look it up and I try and bring additional insights, which we're going to go soon into. But that quote is from Talmud Yerushalmi, so I could not look it up. Okay, but the Gemara Yerushalmi Masechah Shabbos says the sages barely permitted people to greet each other on Shabbos. Why was greeting a friend barely permitted? It's simple. When you're in the company of a powerful king, says Rav Shimshon Pinchas, an emperor, you don't take the time to talk to other people. You don't divert your attention from the king. When your friend walks in, you don't say, oh, hi, how are you doing? How do we create this lofty sense of being in Hashem's presence? So Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, and we're going to see it in a few moments in the Gemara, we don't have to create it. That sense of being in God's presence already exists. All we have to do is our avodah zachar asyam haShabbos culture. Just remember today's Shabbos. Don't spoil it. Don't forget. The table should be a Shabbos table. We must know who is sitting at the table. We sing zmiros. We say askina su'udasa. We prepare a meal. Dahi su'udasa da'atika kadisha. This is the meal of the holy ancient one. This is a meal that there's askina su'udasa, I think, for Shabbos day. We personally sing it by Shalosh Shudas, but we have to remember askina su'udasa, we have prepared the su'uda for who? The Malka Kadisha, the su'uda for the king. We're sitting at Hashem's table with him. Next, this now we're going to new information. Okay, last paragraph on page 36. This is the precious gift we look forward to receiving from Shabbos. So Rav Pinchas has just told us that Shabbos is a gift. So I'm now going to go into Masechah Shabbos. Okay. Masechah Shabbos Yud, Amud Beis. So the last thing we read is that Shabbos is a gift, and we look forward to receiving this gift of Shabbos. So I'm going to quote from the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara is Masechah Shabbos Yud Amud Beis 10b. Va'amar Rava Bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Rav Bar Machasya said the name of Rav Bar Chama Bar Gurya, who said in the name of Rav, Hanosein Matana Lechaveiro, one who gives a gift to his friend, Tzarich Lehodio, someone who gives a present to his friend, you have to let your friend know that you have given them a present. Why? So Rashi on the Gemara says, Matan Ploni Etein Lecha. I'm giving you X gift. Matan Ploni means I'm giving you gift X. V'zehu Derech Kavod. This is a way of kavod. D'shema Yitbayesh, the Kabbalah. Maybe the person will be embarrassed to receive the gift. Maybe he'll feel like it's charity. Maybe he'll feel like you have mercy on him, compassion, not love, but you're having rachmanis on this nebuch guy. So no, matan ploni etein lecha. You say, I'm giving you this gift, v'zeu derech kavod, and it is a way of honor. D'shema yitbayish the kabbalah. Maybe the person, the receiver, will be embarrassed to take the gift. U'mitoch kach mitratzin bidvarim, and through this you appease him with words, the enobosh. So interesting. When the Gemara says you tell your friend when you're giving him a gift, Rashi says you want to spare him from embarrassment. You want to spare him from shame. V'keim im natna beveso. And so too, if you give him a present in his house, shalom yedaso, that's not with his knowledge, tzarich lehodio. You have to let a person know. You shouldn't give an anonymous gift. You should let the person know. Shemido balo. You have to let him know that this gift, this measure is coming with to him. Shemitoch kach yehei ohavo. Because through it, it will increase love. You don't want him to feel embarrassed. If you give him matan beseser, you think that he is a charity case, that he is a tzedakah person, that he needs the benefactor to be anonymous to spare him the shame. By telling him, what will happen? Yehei ohavo. He will become your friend. You will increase love. So that's the Rashi too. Hanosein matana lechaveru, one who gives a gift to his friend. Tzarich lehodio. You have to inform him of the gift that you just gave him to spare him shame and embarrassment. The Art Scroll footnote writes that the Gemara is referring only to a gift bestowed for reasons of friendship. In the case of charity, where the recipient will feel embarrassed, it is better to give anonymously. So we're talking about a gift between friends. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Tanya nami hacha. This was also, What is the proof that you need to give your friend a gift, and you need to tell him you're giving him a gift? Like the Pasuk says in Parshas Ki Tisa, Shemos Perek Lamed Aleph, like the Pasuk says, Lada'as ki ani Hashem mekadichem, to know that I am God who makes you holy. What is the whole Pasuk? It's Shemos 31:13, Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel. So this is the proof. The proof that when you give a gift to your friend, you have to tell them you're giving them a gift is the Pasuk, Lada'as ki ani Hashem mekadichem. They should know I am God who sanctifies them. What's the whole Pasuk? Va'ata daber el b'nei Yisrael. And you, Moshe, should speak to the children of Israel, Leimor, saying, Ach es shabso sai tishmru. Ki osi beinu uveinechem odor sechem. Only my Sabbaths they shall guard, because it is a sign between me and between them, l'dorasechem, for generations, l'da'as, to know, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, I am God who sanctifies them. So when the Torah said, when the Pasuk says, that Hashem says, let them know I'm giving them a gift, l'da'as, they should know, I am God who sanctifies them, what's the beginning of the Pasuk? Shmiras Shabbos. So the Pasuk, the Gemara brings to prove that Hanosei Mata Lechaveiro Tzarich Lehodio, one who gives a gift to his friend, B'derech Kavod, should inform him of it, is based on a Pasuk that deals with Shabbos. So I'll repeat the Pasuk one more time, Shemos Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel. V'ato Dabre Al B'nei Yisrael Leimor, Ach Es Shabso Sai Tishmu. Ki osi beini uveinechem ludoraseichem lada'as, to know ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Going back to the Gemara. Tanya nami hachi. This was also taught in the Braisa. Lada'as, to know ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. I am God who sanctifies you. Amar lo kodesh baruch hu l'Moshe. The Almighty said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana tova yeshli. I have a good present. Beveit ginazai, in my storehouse. Shem said to Moshe, I have a matana tova, a good gift in my storehouse. V'shabbos shema. The name of my matana is Shabbos. V'ani mivakish litna liYisrael. And I, God, want to give this matana tova of Shabbos to the B'nai Yisrael. Leich go v'hodim and make it known. Let the people know. Inform them about Shabbos. So this is the pasuk that's the proof for the fact that if you give your friend a gift, you should let them know. Who do we learn it from? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Who is the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Nosein Torah L'Am Yisrael, the Melamed Torah L'Am Yisrael. He is our teacher par excellence. Everything we do is emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam, V'halachta B'drachav. So he let us know about a Matana Tov, which was Shabbos. So the Gemara learns out, when you give a friend a gift, you should tell them about it based on the fact that Hashem said to Moshe, Matana Tov Yeshli Beveit Genazai, I have a special good gift in my storehouse. Shabbos Shema, the name of the gift is Shabbos, and I request to give it to Israel. Leich v'hodiyim, let it go, Moshe, you, and let it be known to the children of Israel that I have the special gift for them. Mikan, from here the Gemara learns out. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel learns out. Hanosein pas latinok. One who gives a piece of bread to a young child. The Gemara learns out from here an interesting teaching. And now I'm continuing on Yoram Beis. We're still on Yoram Beis. Hano same pas latinok. If you give a piece of bread to a child, tzarich lehodi al imo. You need to let his mother know you gave him a gift. This isn't because of today. Does your child have allergies and you don't want the mother to sue you and stranger danger? No. You should inform the child's mother of the gift for the same reason. You want to increase ahava and reyos, love and friendship between you and the child's mother. If the child eats the donut before he gets home, then the mother is never even going to know that you did something special for her child. So the Gemara says, if you give pas, like pita, pat, if you give bread to a child, you should inform the mother. So the Gemara says, ma'i avidei, what does the giver do to the child to ensure that the parents become aware of the gift? I guess you couldn't pin a note to the child. How should you get the message to the mother? You couldn't text the child or WhatsApp the parent. So how should you make the parent aware that you just gave the child a gift? Amar Abaya. Abaya says, Sha'ef le mishcha. You rub oil between the eyes of the child. Rashi says, very interesting, Sha'ef la mishcha. You rub oil between the eyes of the child. It's like a marker. It's a siman. They gave the child a gift. Yishaf. Shefenu, we just had that word in Parashat Shmos, Shifra, she would beautify the child. Yishaf shenu b'shemen, you should beautify the child with oil. Bein einav, says Rashi, between his eyes. Davar hanira, it's something that's recognizable. Shetish aleinu imo, his mother will ask him, mi asa kein, the child's going to come home, the mother's going to say, wait, who rubbed oil between your eyes? V'yomer la hatinok, and the child will say, ploni asa v'gam pas nasan li. Oh, you're asking me about the oil that has been placed between my eyes. The mother's going to say, who did this to you? Can you imagine how times have changed? Can you imagine taking someone else's child and doing this to them? They would probably arrest you. In the times of the Gemara, Baruch Hashem, things were very different, not like today. So the mother will say, who put the oil between your eyes? Then you pin, the kids coming from kindergarten, pre-1A with a paper, safety pin to their shirt to give the mother a message. So I think today probably the teachers text. That's when my kids were little. Today probably the teachers text the parents. So the teen uncle will say, oh, Plony asa. You know who rubbed the oil between my eyes? Plony. Mr. and Mrs. Plony did this. The gam pas nasanli. Oh, I forgot. They also give me a Danish. So Abaya says, how should you send a marker to the mother? Since you have a principle that if you give a gift to your friend, you have to let the mother know. Rub oil between the eyes. Umalele kichula. Or apply cosmetic paint to the child. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'idna dechayashinin lechashafim." But today we're concerned about sorcery and witchcraft. So the parent might think if the child comes home with oil between their eyes, the parent might think someone practiced witchcraft on their child. Ma. So what do we do? What's an alternative way to let the parent know? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, "Sha'ef leme oso hamin." You should rub the child with some of the food that you're giving him. So put some crumbs on his cheeks from the donut, put some sprinkles on his shirt from the cupcake, put a little bit of icing on his fingers, because today the Gemara says we might be worried that the child comes home with oil between their eyes. We already saw Rashi, the mother will say, who did this to you? But now, wait, they might think it's witchcraft. Someone did witchcraft on my child. So Rav Papa says, you know what you should do? Some of the food that you're giving the child, you should rub on him, crumbs, sprinkles, chocolate, icing, whatever it is. So when he goes home, his mother will say, where did those crumbs come from? You have chocolate icing on your face. And the child will say, oh yes, Mrs. Plony gave me this food. So the Gemara challenges this. The Gemara says, should you really tell your friend when you give them a gift? Aini, is this really so? V'ha'amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina. Rav Chama Bar Chanina quotes a different pasuk to prove that when you give someone a gift, you should not tell them. So should Hashem tell us about Shabbos, or should He not tell us about Shabbos? The first teaching was He should tell us. L'das ki ani Hashem mikadishchem. Shemoz lamed aleph yud gimel. Ach esher sov es shabsos ay tishmu. Ki osi beinu v'nechem adoraseichem. L'das ki ani Hashem mikadishchem. So Hashem said, I have a matana tova in my storehouse. I want to give it to the Bnei Yisrael. You, Moshe, go tell the Bnei Yisrael about this Matana Tova. That's one proof. Now the Gemara digresses and tells, what do we learn from there? You want to give something to your child, make sure you inform the parent, oil, crumbs, whatever the case. Now the Gemara goes back to, should you really tell someone you want to give a gift? Rav Chama Bar Chanina says, I have a different proof. Hano sein matana lechaveru ein sarich lehodio. One who gives a gift to his friend does not have to tell him. Shanamar, also a pasuk from Sefer Shemos, in Parshas Ki Tiso, when Moshe comes down from the mountain after Chet HaEgel, he goes back up, he learns with Hashem, he davens. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina says, Hanosein matana lechaveru, ein tzarich leodio. One who gives a gift to his friend does not have to inform him. Why? Shanamar, Moshe lo yada ki karan or panav bedabro ito. From Shemos Lamadal, and Moshe did not know that the skin of his face was beaming when God spoke to him. Oh, he did not know his face was beaming. So I have a stira. I want you to know about Shabbos, Kmei Matana Tova. Oh, Moshe lo yada. Moshe did not know. So which is it? Should you tell your friend when you give him a present, or should you not tell your friend? Did Hashem want to tell us about Shabbos, but he didn't tell Moshe? So how do we resolve this contradiction? So the Gemara says, lo kasha. There's no kasha here. It's not a difficulty. It's not a stira. Why not? Ha bimilisa da avida liigule. The statement of Rav Chama Bar Chanina that you should not tell your friend deals with a gift that will be revealed in any event. The gift of Moshe's face beaming would be revealed because his face was beaming. He needed to put on a masva, like some sort of mask, when he came down to speak to the Bnei Yisrael. So when the gift will be revealed anyway, you don't need to tell your friend because they're going to find out about it. That is what the Gemara says here. Art scroll footnote. The Meiri adds, in such a case, not only is it unnecessary to inform the recipient, it might even be wrong to do so because you might appear to be bragging about your generosity. The recipient will find out and he's going to know who it's from. So you might be bragging to say, ha, I made your face beaming. So in this case, says the Gemara, Rav Chama Bar Chanina quotes about Moshe's face beaming, you don't need to tell your friend because everyone is going to know anyway. Rashi says, Habi Melissa da Avida de Igule. This is talking about a case where it will become revealed. What will be revealed? So Rashi says, Mi nasnolo. What will be revealed is the giver. You don't need to tell your friend because the giver of the gift will be revealed. Ha, but in the previous case about Shabbos, Ladas Kinesh Mekadishchem, to know that I am God who sanctifies you, Bimilisa Dilo Avidili Gude. You're talking about a gift that will not become revealed. Unless the giver informs the recipient, the gift won't be revealed. So it's two different cases. If the gift will be revealed, you don't need to tell. Adds the Meiri, not only don't you need to tell, but it might look like you're being a Baal Gaiva. Look how generous I am. Look at the gift I gave you. They're going to find out. But in the case of the first case of Shabbos, Matana Tovi Leishi, Bebeis Ginzai, and I want to give it to the people, Leich Vahodi, so then it might not be revealed. Well, then you have an obligation to tell. So what's the problem with that? What do you think the Gemara is now going to ask? We have just established that in the case of Moshe's face beaming, we learn from here the principle that if the gift will be revealed, you don't need to tell. Okay, why? They're going to find out. Says Rashi, what are they going to find out? Mi nasno. They're going to know who gave it. But in the case of, I'll give you an example. I mentioned this Wednesday night in Shir as well. If anybody heard that Shir, listen to it online. I have a friend, every Erev Shabbos, she comes by with a little plate of a few cookies, a couple of brownies. It's always covered in foil. I know her handwriting. So let's say I'm not home and I find the gift on the porch one Friday on the chair on my porch. That plate or the sticky saran wrap that she uses, cling wrap, I forget what it's called, that sticks, or her little handwriting. She doesn't need to tell me who gave me the gift. I'm going to know. So the Gemara says, if it's going to be revealed, says Rashi, who the giver is, you don't need to tell. But if it won't be revealed, you do need to tell. What's the problem with that? The Gemara just said, the gift of Shabbos won't be revealed. So Hashem needs to tell Moshe to tell the Bnei Yisrael, I have a gift. So what's the kasha of the Gemara? Anyone want to guess and write on the chat, what's the kasha of the Gemara? Shabbos won't be revealed. The cake on my porch will be revealed who the giver is. Moshe's beaming face will be revealed. But Shabbos, which is Me'ein Olam Haba, is it possible that the gift of Shabbos could stay hidden? If Hashem doesn't inform us of Shabbos, how could the Gemara say a gift that won't be revealed, i.e. Shabbos, needs to be told? I understand if I give a kid a donut and they have to walk 2 miles from cheder back to home, by the time they get home, the crumbs will be gone and the sprinkles will be gone and the icing will be gone. So I need to put some sort of marker on the child to tell the mother. But could you tell me that Shabbos is not going to be revealed? Is it any less of a bracha than Moshe's face, which is beaming? It's more of a bracha. Remember, Soloveitchik says, we quoted it some months ago, we have survived 2,000 years without the temple. We would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. Shabbos wouldn't be revealed. So the Gemara says, "V'ha Shabbos da avida legiluye." Shabbos is also a gift that will become revealed in any event. The Arutz Scroll footnote, as a day of rest and enjoyment, Shabbos is obviously a gift. The identity of the one who gave it, capital O, capital W, is also obvious. It's not less obvious than Moshe's face beaming, it's more obvious. It has sustained millennia of Yidden. How we wait for Shabbos, how we say Baruch Hashem for Shabbos, how we sit down at the table during Baruch Shalom on Shabbos. It's not going to be revealed. What kind of proof is that? So the Gemara answers, oh, what wouldn't have been revealed about Shabbos? Matan schara lo avid leguluye. The reward for those who keep Shabbos would likely not have become revealed on its own. So the Gemara concludes, it's not the matana of Shabbos that Hashem told Moshe to tell the people. Why? That would have become revealed. That would have become revealed. Everybody would obviously realize that Shabbos is an unbelievable matana. Moshe didn't need to tell us about Shabbos. The Gemara concludes, what would not have been revealed is the reward for keeping Shabbos. And that's what Hashem said to Moshe. I have a special treasure in my treasure house. Shabbos is its name. Go tell the people. After this whole back and forth that we just learned, the Gemara says, what should he tell the people? Of the reward of Shabbos. Arutz Scroll footnote says, God described these rewards, that's Rashi. I want to tell you Rashi first. Matan schara. V'hu hodiyam al yad Moshe ba'al peh maschara. God let it be known to the Jews, al yad Moshe, through Moshe, says Rashi, ba'al peh, through the oral law, maschara. So that would not have been revealed had Moshe not given to us from the Ribono Shel Olam. The written Torah, however, the Torah Shebichtav, says the Arutz Scroll footnote, records no specific reward for Shmira Shabbos. However, the oral law, what we call Torah Shebaal Peh, states those who delight in Shabbos are given a boundless inheritance. That's later in Masach HaShabbos, Kuf Yud Ches Aleph. So what would not have been revealed? Shabbos would have been revealed. Just like you can't deny Moshe's face is beaming. Just like you can't deny that someone gave your child a donut if they come home smelling like Alan's Bakery with crumbs and sprinkles and chocolate icing on their fingers and all over their face. You can't deny it. You also can't deny the gift of Shabbos. So what might not have been known? The matan scharan lo avid leguluye. The reward might not have been known because it's not written in the Torah. So Rashi says, Hashem told Moshe, the Alpeh, to transmit to the Bnei Yisrael what the matan schar was. And that is included in the Gemara. The reward for those who observe Shabbos. Shabbos is a tremendous gift. Both Shabbos itself, sitting with Hashem, and also the reward for Shabbos. This is the last sentence we read in Rav Shimshon Pinkas. This is the precious gift we look forward to receiving from Shabbos. I'm going to quote from a new sefer. It's called Nishmas, Song of the Soul, Nishmas Kol Chai. It's by Srili Besser. I think he's a rabbi, Srili Besser. I'm not sure. He writes a mishpacha once a month, Voice in the Crowds, very nice, his column. So this is a new sefer, Rabbi, yeah, it doesn't say on the front cover, but it is. It's Rabbi Yisrael Besser. So I'm going to quote from this sefer, and what we're speaking about is that Shabbos is a gift. We have just gone through the Gemara together. So he quotes the Ohev Yisrael. The Ohev Yisrael was Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel of Apta. Right, one of the Hasidic rabbis. I'm sorry, one second. Sorry, I just need a tissue. I'm sorry, excuse me. Sorry. So the Ohev Yisrael, Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel of Apta, told over the following. He quoted the words of the Shabbos morning tefillah. Ze shir shavach shel yom hashvi. Ze shir shavach. This is a song of praise. Shel yom hashvi, on the seventh day. Shabbo shava mikol malachto. On this day, God rested from all of his work. And then we say, lefichach yifa'aru v'yivarchu lakel kol yitzurav. Therefore, all should glorify and bless the God who fashioned them. Okay, lefichach, therefore, yifa'aru, they shall glorify, v'yivarchu, they should bless, lakel, kol yitzrab, to the God who fashions all. So what does this mean? What, asked the Apta Rav, is meant by lefichach, therefore? We say, zeshul shavach shayam mashvi, shavo shavas kel mikom alachto. Okay, we bless God. Then we say lefichach. What's the therefore? Why is the praise of creation dependent on the song of Shabbos? The Apta Rav explained as follows. Can someone who doesn't appreciate music laud a magnificent symphony? Can a person without artistic inclination perceive the greatness in a beautiful painting? How do we mere human beings come to praise the maker of heaven and earth? The intricacies and the complexities of the universe are beyond our capacity to understand. So how could it be that I, lefichach, it's zeshur shavach shem mashvi, it is a shir, it is a song of praise for the seventh day, lefichach, therefore, all of his creation should laud and glorify him. So now the Apta Rav explained, someone who doesn't have an ear that is tuned to music cannot appreciate a symphony. It's funny I'm quoting this today, because if anyone heard my shir of yesterday morning, it really relates to yesterday's learning about Joshua Bell, not being able to appreciate music if your ear is not fine-tuned to music. Can a person without artistic inclination appreciate a beautiful painting? So how could mere human beings praise the creator? The intricacies and the complexities of the universe are totally beyond our capacity to understand. So how could I praise God? Sometimes, said the Apta Rav, a humble peasant is traveling and trudging along a muddy path. He's barely able to move forward. But then a chariot comes by, pulled by a team of strong horses. The owner invites the man on foot to come join him in his chariot. And suddenly, the peasant has a way of moving ahead. Shabbos itself praises the Creator. Zeh shir shavach, shal yom hashvi'i. This is the song of shavach, of Shabbos, to Hashem. Zeh shir shavach, shal yom hashvi'i. This is the song of praise that Shabbos sings to the Creator. Shabbos is like the rider in the chariot. Lefichach, therefore, humble, simple man who trudges along in the mud the whole week, can hitch a ride on the wagon of Shabbos. Once the wagon of praise is moving forward, anyone can jump onto the wagon, and then we too can offer our own praises on this holy day. Therefore, all that Hashem has fashioned should come and sing this song as well. Zeshur Shavach Shem Hashvi, Shabbos sings praise to the Creator. Lefichach, therefore, I can get a ride. Yifa'aru, think about, could I go to Manhattan? In the 45 minutes, can be from Cedarhurst into the, with the LIRR, I could be there in 45 minutes into Penn Station, but if I don't have the LIRR, how long is it going to take me to get to Manhattan? I don't know, how many hours would it take me to walk to Manhattan from my home in Woodmere to Manhattan? But all of the LIRR is going anyway, I could get on the train. Hey, you're going the same direction. I could get on the train. I could be downtown in 45 minutes. Wow, you're just taking 5 hours of walking. Once Shabbos comes and it sings a shir of Shavach, we can also hitch a ride. And therefore, a lowly man who cannot possibly understand the workings of the Creator can also hitch a ride. Nishmas is the ultimate song of praise. Remember, this is a sefer on Nishmas. Nishmas is the ultimate song of praise. When else can man open his mouth to articulate lofty praises but on Shabbos Kodesh? There are those who suggest Nishmas is recited on Shabbos because this prayer of gratitude is our way of thanking Hashem for the, quote, great gift of Shabbos. Some say that Nishmas is specifically recited on Shabbos because it is a thank you Hashem. Libby, the little meme you always use, the thank you Hashem. Because it's our way of thanking Hashem, Nishmas, specifically for the great gift of Shabbos. Hashem turned Shabbos as a gift to his nation. We just went through the whole Gemara. And now, he ends with a very illuminating, cute, slightly humorous story. Rav Shmelka Horowitz of Nicholsburg distributed huge sums to tzedakah. He would give whatever he had in his possession to the impoverished and the hungry. One day, a poor man appeared at the door asking for money of Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg. But the house was bare. The Rebbe could find nothing at all to give him. Rav Salvechik tells about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker. His home was open to everybody. In the antechamber of his home, he always had homeless people sleeping. There were signs, do not disturb people. The homeless, the unwed mothers in Brisk would leave their babies on the doorstep of Rav Chaim Brisker because they knew that the babies would be taken care of and find a home. He just gave away everything. So Rav Soloveitchik says, but his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, he once made an enemy this way. A rich gevir in Brisk came to give him a fancy tray of Mishloach Manos. And before the rich gevir could even leave, a pauper came in. And Rav Chaim had nothing to give him, so he took the wealthy man's Mishloach Manos, full of all kinds of delicacies, while the man was still standing there, and he gave it to the poor man. So the Rav says his grandfather made an enemy this way. So Rav Shmelko Horowitz of Nicholsburg distributed huge sums of money. One time a poor man came, and he asked for money, and the Rebbe had nothing to give him. The Rebbetzin was not home at the time. So the Rebbe searched for something he might share with this poor, unfortunate, downtrodden individual. For several minutes, he could not find anything. But eventually, he found something of value. Under the Rebbetzin's pillow, he found her lone piece of jewelry, a ring. The Rebbe joyously took out the ring from under his wife's pillow. He gave it to the beggar. The pauper could hardly believe his good fortune. He danced away from the Rebbe's home, and he passed the Rebbetzin walking up the path. The Rebbetzin immediately understood what must have happened. She hurried in to check her hiding place. Sure enough, the ring was gone. That ring is worth 300 rubles, she called out to her husband. You gave it to a beggar who will trade it for a slice of bread? When the Rebbe heard this, his wife's anguish and how much the ring was worth, listen carefully, he left the house. He began to chase after the visitor. The poor man saw the Rebbe coming, so he quickened his own pace with the ring, worried about having to give back his newly acquired gift. When the Rebbe finally caught up to the beggar, he called out, wait, listen to me. The ring is worth 300 rubles. It's an expensive gift. Please don't sell it for anything less. That Shabbos, Rav Shmelko told the story to his Hasidim, using it to explain the words of Chazal, the Gemara that we just went through in depth. This is what Hashem told Moshe. Lech vehodiyom. Go let the people know I have a fine gift. Hashem wants us to understand Shabbos is precious. Shabbos is valuable. Shabbos is not worth selling for a piece of bread. Shabbos is worth 300 rubles, obviously, lahavdal. It's a mashal with a nimshal. It's not just pennies. Shabbos isn't just a bowl of hot soup. Shabbos isn't just an afternoon nap. You have to be aware of what you're getting when you run out to the week. Hashem runs after. He says, wait, I have such a special gift. Do you know how much this gift is worth? You're going to sell my gift for a nap. You're going to sell my gift for a piece of stale bread. It's the gift we were given. And in expressing our gratitude, remember, some say Nishmas is specifically said on Shabbos. We don't say it during the week. We say, Vayivarech David, the Halukas, Vayivarech David, Az Yashar Yishtabach. Something's different on Shabbos. Nishmas kol chai to brech ashimcha, because Shabbos is a gift. Like we learned in the Gemara, and we're expressing our appreciation and gratitude. We're telling Hashem we appreciate it. We must understand its worth. Like the beggar of Shmelko wanted him to understand how much that ring was worth. We know its worth. We will never, ever be oblivious to its value. We say thank you, Hashem, for the gift of Shabbos. So that whole beginning of Shir was on the first sentence in the Sefer that we started with today. New information, bottom of page 36. What is the last read of Shimshon Pinkus' Sefer? This is the precious gift we look forward to receiving from Shabbos. And also, I think it's so important. When you get a gift, you're so excited. Not the person informs you, and you don't feel like the pauper, like Rashi said, and you're not embarrassed, and it increases ahava, and you really appreciate the gift. You don't want it to lose its excitement. So Shabbos every single week is a new gift. You know, you have a gift, so in the beginning it's exciting, and then it might be like not so exciting anymore because it's a year old, it's 2 years old, it's 3 years old. You might remember fondly the person who gave it to you, but are you so excited? But Shabbos is described as a gift, not as something in your possession, but that you already have, that you got used to. Every week, it's a new gift. And if it's a new gift every week, you'll always be as excited on this Shabbos as you were the last one and the year before. Why? Because every week you're excited by the gift, just like you're excited when you get a present anew for the first time. So that's how we have to view Shabbos, every week, it's not a gift that I reminisce fondly, oh, it was so nice when you gave it to me. It's an active gift in the present tense, like the Gemara says. Matana tova yeshli beveis genazai. I have a wonderful gift in my treasures. Vishal bishkma. Shabbos is its name. Va'ani mevakesh litna liyisrael leich v'hodiim. It's in the present tense. It's not in the past tense. Hashem didn't say by Parshas Yisro, which are coming up to in a couple of weeks. Achar siyam Shabbos akad shoshesh siyamim tavod. And it wasn't only for that generation. Today, you remember fondly. You know, you might have a family heirloom. It's nice. You say, oh, this is a gift my grandmother got from my grandfather. It's nice, but it's not as exciting to you as it was to your grandmother when she got it from her grandfather. You reminisce, you have a memory, but you don't have the excitement of the present. That's not Shabbos. Shabbos is Matana Tova Liesh Li Bevekin Azai. Every week, Hashem takes Shabbos out of the storehouse, and every week we should relish it. I don't know, for if you got Hanukkah presents, birthday presents, whatever presents you get in your home, whatever your family minhag is, you're excited when you get the gift. So it's another additional way of understanding the matana of Shabbos. We shouldn't look at it as a gift we got. It's nice. You know, we reminisce fondly about the giver, but I'm not so excited. It should be like when you open the present for the first time, you say, wow, I'm so excited by this. That's how we should look at Shabbos, a gift in the present tense. Every week, it's a new present. So, we've gone through the Gemara, we went through Rabbi Besser Sefer, and then an additional Ha'ara of our own, understanding that Shabbos is a gift in the present tense and not something old that we received in the past. And it's very important. Every week, we should try and make it special and different, whether it's the food or the games we play, the clothing we dress with. You know, someone just told me something amazing, and it reminded me of this class because we spoke, oh, I don't know if it was more than some months ago, but we've spoken, we quoted a piece from Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita. We quoted about Lo Yem Al Bushcha Shal Shabbos Kim Al Bushcha Shachol. When you go to an important meeting, but meet an important person, your clothing is befitting of that. So someone just told me, a woman who learns with me in some different venues, I should say B'Shem Amar, Rachi Fried, she just told me, she learns with me twice a week over a call-in. It's a parsha class for seniors through OHEL Family Services, and it's not on Zoom, it's over the phone. You know what she just told me yesterday? She says in an email, she always gets dressed for shiur. I can't, no one could see her, not only I can't see her. There's between 80 and 100 people on the call, Baruch Hashem. Used to be in person for seniors, and now it's over the phone. And she told me she gets dressed for shiur. She said, even though no one can see me, I get dressed for shiur. She's getting dressed for Kavod Torah. It reminded me of this class. But I was very impressed. I told her, it's extremely inspiring. And I thought it was incredible. I mean, I'm wearing like a long sleeve t-shirt and a little, you know, Adidas, like a jacket over here. Okay, so I thought it was amazing. I said to Rachi, that's really inspiring, but it's a reminder about how we should approach Shabbos. If we appreciated the kavod of Shabbos and the gift of Shabbos, not that I have this and it's a reminisce on family heirloom, every week it's a new present. So of course I would be regal to welcome the gift, to appreciate the gift that Hashem is giving me, something very special to keep in mind. This is the wealth that, so I'm going back to the Sefer. This is the wealth that Shabbos Kodesh bestows upon us. What is the wealth of Shabbos? So remember, the Gemara said one thing. It's the schar that's the matana that we would not have known. Rabbi Shuli Besser says another thing. Appreciate what the worth, the value of Shabbos is. Another thing we added, appreciate the gift in the present tense, not something of the past. So we offered three pshatim into what the matana of Shabbos is. One, according to the Gemara, the matan schar of Shabbos, for those who keep it. Two, Rabbi Besser, the worth, the value of Shabbos itself. Three, appreciate the gift as if you just got it today. Not that it's an old present, it's right now, right here. This is the wealth that Shabbos Kodesh bestows upon us. We can truly sense and understand the wonderful fact that Hashem exists. You can't deny in Shabbos that Hashem exists. He is a living reality, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in our lives. We can spend time with Him, says Rav Pinkas. We sit at the table with Him. We partake of His food. Remember what we learned last time, 3 weeks ago. That's why we don't go cooking when Shabbos comes. Not halachically, hashkafically. Hashem's here. Now you're going to cook. My parents finally, I got to see them after 10 months of not seeing them. Now I'm going to say, oh, I'm going to prepare? No. We can spend time with Him, says Rav Pinkas. We sit at His table. Askina su'udasa. We prepare a table of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We partake of His food. Shabbos showers us with all the, top of page 37. Shabbos showers us with all the precious gifts that during the rest of the week, seem so hard to attain. What is so hard to attain the rest of the week that we could attain on Shabbos? Amunah, I'm quoting from the Sefer. Amunah, faith, bitachon, trust. I just read the introduction to the Chovos HaLevavo Shar HaBitachon put out by Artskoa, but the introduction differentiates between bitachon and amunah. Bitachon is theoretically, amunah is practically. So bitachon is understanding that theoretically I trust God. Amunah is when I'm thrust into a situation that tests my spiritual fortitude, I maintain my faith in God. So the idea that, yeah, of course I believe in Hashem, but when you're tested, how do you act then? So bitachon is theoretical. It's easy for us to say we all believe in Hashem. Amunah means when you're thrust into a situation, how do you do then? So if Shimshon Pinchas says the whole week, it's so hard to attain Amunah, right? Because the world is Olam Hafuch Ra'isi, Psachim Non Amar Aleph. The world's upside down. It's upside down. The pandemic is raging. There's a new strain now that's affecting the pregnant woman more and young people. I don't know if you follow the news out of Eretz Yisrael. I just saw this morning, I was so upset. Did you see that Yuri Dukes was nifter? I did not know he was nifter. So Rivka saying she saw and Libby saying she didn't see. I remember when he came home a month ago and it was so, everyone was so happy. He'd been in the hospital for 8 months and his wife constantly posted about her amunah and she was mechazik others. And I remember a month ago when he came home with COVID. And I just saw this morning on Yeshiva World News that a day after he came home, he went back to the hospital, which I had not known. He was nifter yesterday. He was 39 years old. He leaves his almana with 6 yesomim. Hashem yirachem aleinu baruch dayan ha'emes. So it's very hard during the week, says Rabbi Pinchas, to attain emunah. We work on it all week, but we're pulled by the news and distractions and the politics who can't help but have some awareness of what's going on politically. I mean, my son had a chavrusa 3 times this week with a rabbi in Darche, a new rabbi, whatever, to acclimate him. Okay, so the rabbi said to him, well, it means, did you know that today's inauguration day? So you can't get away from the politics and the pandemic and the parnasa struggles and personal issues. So the whole week, it's hard to attain amunah. I am finished more in a few minutes. It's hard to attain amunah. It's hard to have bitachon. It's hard during the week, says Rabbi Pinchas, to have pure ahavas Hashem. It's difficult during the week to attain yiras Hashem. That's what Rabbi Pinchas says. But on Shabbos, those precious gifts that during the week seem so hard to attain, the amunah, the bitachon, the ahavas Hashem, the yiras Hashem, on Shabbos, all the facets of relating to Hashem are within our grasp. All we have to do is take advantage of this time. That's why Shabbos is me'ein habrachos. It's me'ein olam haba, because in olam haba, I'm adding that. And he says it's me'ein habrachos, me'ein habrachos. It's all the blessings. But also, in olam haba, there's no questions of amunah and bitachon. The neshama sees everything with such clarity. Perhaps another reason why Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Because in olam haba, all the questions will be answered. Everything will be clear. You don't have a problem. The neshama is not going to struggle with amunah bitachon, ahavas Hashem, yiras Hashem in olam haba, because all the questions that we struggled with down here are revealed. So maybe that's another reason why Shabbos is me'ein olam haba, because it gives us such a clarity, such a crystal clear awareness of our neshama's tafkid while we are still down here. So Pinchas says all we have to do is take advantage of this time. That's why Shabbos is Me'ayin HaBrachos, the fountain of all blessings. So I'm just going to end by quoting a short vignette from Rav Reaching the Heavens, Rav Yaakov Edelstein, Zatzal. His brother is one of the Gedolei Hador, Rav Gershon Edelstein Shlita. So it's a beautiful book. If you didn't read it, very, very nice. Reaching the Two Heavens of Rav Yaakov Edelstein, written by Sivan Rachav Meir, actually, and her husband. Very, very nice book. So I'm just going to end with a story from this book, okay? It's about how he gave advice to people, but what's interesting is that these two pieces of advice that he gave relate to Shabbos, or something in my eye. Those close to Rav Edelstein emphasized that when people came to him, Rav Edelstein never just imposed demands and instructions upon them. First and foremost, he looked at the person standing in front of him. Who was the person? Where was he holding in his life? A non-observant young man came to Rav Edelstein to receive a bracha. And what did Rav Edelstein suggest? For starters, listen, just don't smoke on Shabbos in public. Don't smoke on Shabbat in public. He wasn't a kana. If you read the book, his Ahavas Yisrael and the way he dealt with the non-observant through absolute pure love. But this person wanted a bracha. So he said to him, if you want to bring bracha into your life, access the gift of Shabbos. How for you on your level? For starters, quote, don't smoke on Shabbat in public. A single young woman who wanted to get married, she was looking for a shidduch, told a single young woman who wanted to get married, he suggested, quote, she strengthened her observance of Shabbos in some way. If accepting Shabbos, this is relevant to our class, if accepting Shabbos in an earlier time, but put too much pressure on her, because it's something that we've spoken about. Let's say you're going to end up screaming at everyone in your house because you're trying to accept Shabbos 10 minutes early. So then accepting Shabbos 10 minutes early isn't a good idea if you're going to trample Bein Adam Mechaveiro and Shalom Bayis. That's contrary to the whole idea of Shabbos. If accepting Shabbos, I need 30 seconds, I see the time, 1 minute. If accepting Shabbos in an earlier time would put too much pressure on her, said Rav Edelstein, she should think of doing something else instead. For example, buying a new pair of shoes that she would wear exclusively on Shabbos. So to both of these petitioners, both the non-observant man who wanted a bracha, and this young woman looking for a shidduch, what was Rav Edelstein's advice? If you want bracha to come into your life, tap into the matana of Shabbos. For you, don't smoke on Shabbat in public. For you, buy new pairs of shoes that you wear only on Shabbos. Providing suggestions and goals, as Rav Edelstein did, without pushing or pressure. So in the book it's written to show you how kind and compassion, understanding it was of people's challenges. But I think it also shows us that what he was showing these petitioners, if you want bracha to come into your life, appreciate the matana of Shabbos. And then automatically bracha will flow. So this was a action-packed 46 minutes of insights into Shabbos Kodesh. I thank very much on behalf of all of us, the sponsor, who she doesn't want me to name her. It should bring bracha into your home and matanos into your home. And I wish everybody a wonderful and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so, so much, everybody. Again, Shabbos to all. Thank you.